After UN envoy Kofi Annan sat down with Syria's president today in Damascus, Annan pronounced their talks to be positive, though that country still is a long way from peace. For almost 16 months, a protest movement in Syria has challenged Bashar al-Assad's rule. Brutal government attempts to suppress the protests have led to an increasingly bloody war. Thousands of Syrians killed and hundreds of thousands forced to flee their homes. Behind those numbers are people whose lives have been profoundly changed by the uprising. NPR's Deborah Amos profiles one Syrian family.
When Syrians first started openly protesting inside the country, 29-year-old Karim Nashar was working on his PhD at Princeton. He joined demonstrations outside UN headquarters in New York.
Sometimes we come here just to vent. A lot of the times we just chant in Arabic, not even in English, because you just want to feel a sense of camaraderie and community.
The Arabic chants match the ones shouted on Syrian streets.
And they all rhyme, actually. He's pretty good.
What is that one?
If you go down to the seventh, level of hell, we will still come and get you from there.
This activism was new for Syrians. Many feared Syria's security police would target them even in the U.S. or relatives back home. The Nashar family has long been on the radar of the Syrian government. Karim's father is a well-known dissident, a political prisoner for 3 years for opposing the regime. Karim grew up in Aleppo, Syria, in an intensely political family. Opposing President Bashar al-Assad is Karim Nashar's obsession. His activist role has been much larger than protests on the streets. He raised money to buy medical supplies and communication gear smuggled into Syria. He was up before dawn to connect with activists inside the country. He became an opposition voice in the U.S., calling for international intervention to bring down the regime.
And via Democracy Now! Video stream, we're joined by Karim Nashar.
I want to bring in Karim Nashar, a PhD candidate at Princeton University, also an activist.
Over coffee in a New York cafe, Karim explained that he couldn't tell his family about how active he'd become. It was too dangerous to talk on the phone. Then in May 2011, he finally arranged a secure call home and discovered that his 67-year-old father, Samir Nashar, had been taking much bigger risks, demonstrating in the suburbs of Damascus.
And that's when my dad told me, I was in Douma. There were 20,000 people there. It was an unbelievable feeling. He sounded like a little kid.
Late last year, his father took another risk as a founding member of the opposition group, the Syrian National Council. Western and Arab governments hoped the SNC would emerge as a potential government in exile. The Nashar family was forced to abandon their home in Syria for the safety of Turkey in October 2011. Karim was still at Princeton when his mother and sister had to quickly pack and go.
There's not a single day that passes by without me feeling very guilty. I feel extremely guilty for being here.
Guilt is not uncommon in a revolt that's claimed so many lives. It's made more intense for Karim by the memory of another young Syrian, Basil Shahadi, who left his studies in the U.S. to join the revolt. He was killed in Syria in May.
Basil was someone who came from the exact same background that I come from. It hit me so hard because he's someone who had to actually sacrifice the exact same things that I have right now. And he was, so brave. And I definitely have survivor guilt. I feel that ultimately, the people who survived this revolution are not the best people, because the best people have already died.
Not long after Shahadi's death, Karim finished his studies at Princeton and flew to Turkey. This June, in a cramped apartment in Istanbul, the Nashar family was resettled and reunited. A flat-screen TV was tuned to a live-stream broadcast of a demonstration in Aleppo as the family shared opinions about the revolt.
To be honest, I don't know of any family that we were close to in Aleppo that was as obsessed with politics as we are.
In this family, everything is open for debate. Over sweet tea and cookies, Samir Nashar listens as his son and his daughter Zaina talk about the growing strength of the armed opposition, while his wife, Noran, bitterly complains that the SNC the organization that her husband helped to create, has failed to unite.
I am more disappointed about the Syrian Council, CNC, from Samir.
So you're unhappy with...
Yeah, she's completely unhappy.
We're all very unhappy.
Zaina's critique is tougher than her mom's. She's listened in on SNC meetings that begin as talks and end in fights.
And we get to hear their meetings, but after a while we were like, come on, this is what we left for?
Yeah, exactly.
Like these small, mediocre maneuvers and playing games.
I lost interest. I was like, okay, whatever. Do you think it matters to the revolution on the ground, what the SNC does?
Karam translates for his father, but Karam gives the answer.
I don't think so. It's going to continue, nevertheless, bad or good. It's going to keep going, you know? And the SNC has become really marginal.
It's a widely held view that Syria's opposition group is still too fractured to take over should the Assad regime collapse. Samir Nashar patiently listens to his family's anger. He acknowledges that the rebels have the momentum now. He blames the international community, which failed Syria, he says. There was no protection from this ruthless regime, he adds. Desperate Syrians started fighting back, taking arms from any source. The violence is likely to get worse.
He's very fearful for the country. Things are pretty bad, and they're heading to a place where they're completely out of control.
Do you also share that worry that what will be left of Syria when this is over?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Absolutely.
Father and son agree that the armed rebellion is likely to drag on, and they have another concern— the growing strength of the Islamist militias.
It makes us terrified. But at the same time, the only way to deal with this is to engage even more and try to limit the damage as much as possible.
The damage to Syria is the family's biggest concern and reflects a wider conversation in the Syrian opposition. Is there still hope for a political solution? They all agree that the Assad regime must go. But if violence is the only answer, what is the price? Deborah Amos, NPR News.